Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. I'm Chip Patterson. I am here in rainy San Jose, and we just had the College Football Playoff National Championship game media day back at my hotel room. Barton Simmons just got done with his own work, doing a little reporting for the All-America Bowl. You're in San Antonio. How did the game go? How was your performance? You know, we're always trying to get better, just like the players. We're trying to get better every single day. So do you feel like you got better today with your reporting duties?
Man, I got through it, you know. That's all that matters. I mean, I was fine. I think it was fine. But this is one of those deals where, you know, you're always just kind of looking to the light at the end of the tunnel this week. It's a long, busy week, but a lot of fun. It's the sun came out for us in San Antonio. It's like 70 degrees today. That's always nice. The college coaches convention is in San Antonio. The coaches are going to start converging on town today. I'm going to stick around a couple days for that and have a couple beers with coaches. But the game was great, man. We had Wisconsin quarterback signee Graham Mertz set a game record.
Shut up.
For touchdown passes with 5 and passing yardage for like 188, I think, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's sort of a condensed game, and you're splitting reps by 3 guys, and you know you don't see that much very often. So, hey, Wisconsin could be getting a quarterback to go with their run game. So a really, really good day for Graham Mertz. One of his favorite targets was Dominic Blaylock, who had a big time game as well. A wide receiver committed to Georgia or signed with Georgia. Nolan Smith, also a Georgia signee, number one player in the country right now, dominated as an edge rusher. Basically, anytime he was on the field, they couldn't get much done on offense. Was the West. And then also Jaden Hazelwood, who's out of Georgia, was really impressive. Had probably the highlight of the game with like a 72-yard touchdown pass where he just mossed some dude and took it to the house. He committed during the broadcast to Oklahoma.
Ooh!
So how about Oklahoma getting another really good wide receiver? It's just going to be a sick skill group for Oklahoma. USC also on the broadcast got 2 commits, 5-star wide receivers, Brew McCoy and Kyle Ford.
Okay.
Alabama got 2 commits. 4-star cornerback Marcus Banks and 4-star defensive end Chris Bogle. And the Bogle deal, little peek behind the curtains, Chris Bogle literally didn't know who he was going to pick the day before. He changed his pick even this morning.
What?
Told the NBC broadcast, I'm picking Tennessee, and ultimately, like an hour later, was like, no, I'm going Bama. Miami was where a lot of people thought. Miami was where all the 24/7 sports experts and national experts really thought he was going heading into the week. And that's where he thought he was going, you know, where there's a really good chance he was going. So that's a kid that is completely conflicted and probably has some stress and pressure left to weather.
Based on everything you just told me, there's no way if I'm any one of those teams, I think it's done until that Wednesday in February when the letter comes in.
No. That's
the door is the door is wide open at this point. You see that kind of indecision, and I think as a recruiter, you're looking at the rest of the table, and you're like, all right, boys, it's back on. Pull out those phones.
Yeah. That's one that's, I don't think that, that old Alabama hat pull is going to deter Jeremy Pruitt and Manny Diaz from continuing to make a few phone calls.
Nice. I gotta say for like the game there when y'all finally get to that, or the kids even a little bit worn down, I'm remembering back to some of the takes during our preseason pods, or the stories that you would share with, you know, about Elite 11, just that sometimes even getting through the week and getting to the game, there's a certain stamina that you're looking for in some guys. Was that one of those weeks, or was this one of those events where sometimes there's just whoever's got that special it factor that might end up making a difference? That's something that surfaces by being able to have enough endurance to get through it all.
Well, I don't know about the endurance part of it, but there is I think this is a great, I mean, look,
a mental, maybe endurance, but like a mental, it's a mental challenge, right?
Well, I just think you can learn about some intangibles of guys. I mean, there's a, you know, relevant to a conversation we're going to have today, national championship game, Tua. This is a dome stadium, big crowd. I mean, not these guys haven't seen a big crowd before, but the bright lights, I mean, NBC, this is the biggest audience they've ever played in front of without question, no exceptions. They're on NBC, 2 million viewers, whatever it is. And they, some guys shrink in that bright light, which is, I think, why you got to be whatever the skill set is of, and again, Tua was a guy that did not shrink in that moment. And Jake Fromm didn't either. And Trevor Lawrence didn't either. And so those guys, you look at them, you're like, all right, they got something to them. You know, Graham Mertz had a little bit of that today for Wisconsin. So he was great. And you also look at the week of practice too. Texas A&M's getting a kid, DeMarvin Leal, who is unreal as a defensive lineman. And that's going to be an impact guy for the Aggies very quickly as they try to tool up to contend in the SEC West.
A former top high school prospect, a big part of one of the storylines of the week in college football. Barton, we've not gotten to reconnect, or we haven't even talked offline, but Justin Fields to Ohio State, I guess not. Are we saying not a surprise that he would choose to go somewhere else? So this is where we just get to move forward with the Buckeyes. Ryan Day have a quarterback that can win a national championship? Because you did say Justin Fields can win a national championship at college football, and he just showed up at a school that would very much like to get a year two national championship with Ryan Day, or a year one national championship than they did with Urban Meyer.
I gotta be honest. I am as a fan of college football. When Justin Fields decided he was transferring, all right. So we've got that. I'm not saying I'm glad he's leaving Georgia.
Good to get the pieces in position, and we get to
Now that he has made the decision, hey, I'm leaving. I was glad to see him pick Ohio State.
I agree,
because he goes to we have. Yeah, the chess piece is on the board now to where a lot's in play.
Right.
Ohio State's in play. I mean, Ryan Day, that's the point here. I mean, he went to Ohio State because Ryan Day, he thinks he can develop him. They think he's going to play to his skill set. And Ohio State has the pieces around him. They've recruited well enough. And so I tweeted it, game on. You know, I mean, it's like, all right, we got another contender. Look, I may be wrong. I mean, no one's ever really seen a whole lot of Justin Fields, but that's what I believe. I believe Justin Fields is that good. And so, and I had a little bit of a Twitter spat with some Clemson people who were busting my chops for, because at one point we had Justin Fields ranked higher than Trevor Lawrence. I made the case that there's a very real debate to be had on who's the better quarterback, and a lot of the Clemson folks were saying like, well, you know, what a dumb take that was. How you feeling now, Barton, or whatever, like the Twitter trolls like to do. And, they may be right. I mean, Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence may be five times the quarterback Justin Fields is. But we don't know that right now. No one knows that. And I actually made the case on Twitter. I said, look, if Trevor Lawrence was at Georgia this season, I would make the case that he would not be a starting quarterback right now.
Right. And that's,
I just don't think you're beating out Jake Fromm.
Right.
I don't think anyone's beating out Jake Fromm. And so, I think Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback than Jake Fromm probably. at least in the long term and at least as a prospect. But I don't care if Tom Brady rolls in there as a true freshman. Jake Fromm's got to do something to, like, crack the door open. And it's hard for me to envision Jake Fromm doing that. So, I think this is great for college football. And I think it's going to be fun to watch Justin Fields in that offense.
I do not intend to draw this in terms of what the expectations are going to be. Justin Fields will sit out next year, right?
No. I think there's, well, we don't know, but there is a scenario where he could appeal and be immediately eligible.
What is his appeal based on?
The grounds for the appeal would be the racist.
Oh my comments, goodness!
By
the baseball player.
The baseball player from Georgia who was, calling him racist. I don't know how you even. Was using racial slurs. And it was publicized and
was taken. The baseball player was kicked off the team.
Right. Like it was
acknowledged.
There's documented evidence.
Happened.
It was, and the kid apologized for it. It was directed at Fields.
Athletic director made a statement about it. Absolutely.
Right. Like, yeah. And so then, you look at the NCAA and you're like, all right, they're put in a pretty tough spot. If you're looking, how do you not grant him a release? That's a pretty tricky spot to be in if you're going to say no to that.
Right.
And so that's I think the next step in this is we just figure out whether or not he's eligible.
That makes me uncomfortable. There's a lot to unpack there. But in I was about to compare him to Kyler Murray, and not that the style of offense is the same, but just the idea that. The first, you come in with all this hype and then you don't end up being the guy like you planned. But boy, there's a great chance that the next school is going to be a fit. And with some time to develop, there's a chance that you could go win a Heisman Trophy. I think Justin Fields could win a Heisman Trophy at Ohio State.
I kind of anticipate that he will.
Shut up.
Like where's the Vegas, line on that one? Give me my odds. Let me put a ticket in. I mean, I'm a believer in his ability. Really am.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to doubt you. You've been on it from the jump. As long as we have talked about Justin Fields,
as sure of a thing as Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's not thrown as many passes in high school. He was a one man team. He didn't play on a good team. He scrambled a lot. So there's development that needs to take place. Were he the starting quarterback at Clemson this year, I'm not necessarily going to argue he would be having a better season than Trevor Lawrence or even be having as good of a season as Trevor Lawrence. But if he develops and gets coached up in the right way, he's got a ceiling that's like Cam Newton-ish. And so it's going to be, I think, fun to watch what he does at a place like Ohio State, which is going to have so many weapons for him to use and what appears to be a staff that's, certainly has a great reputation. Ryan Day's quickly, I've never seen a guy that's like earned a reputation like his in such quick order.
He lost Alex Grinch to Oklahoma. Alex Grinch is about the perfect fit for the Big 12, I would think. For the Sooners specifically to defend in the Big 12, based on what we saw over his 3 years of work at Washington State, where that group got better every single year, I have not seen anybody putting their thumb down at the Alex Grinch hire.
No, I know I wrote about it when Mike Stoops was fired. Their hire should be Alex Grinch, and here it is. They made the hire. And now what's the next, it wasn't about just like calling plays though, at Oklahoma they've got good players and they're so far away. I guess what I am getting at here is that there is, I would think probably some more turnover in that defensive staff. Who do they hire? How does that staff shake out? I think Alex Grinch is the type of guy that can give Oklahoma a fighting chance. And he's proven it. And he's also complimented an air raid. at Washington State and given Mike Leach his best defenses he's ever had in his career. So that's the best case scenario for Oklahoma. Do you, with Alex Grinch in tow now, what's Oklahoma national championship? Will they win a national championship in the next 4 years?
I got to think that their window has to be one of these Spencer Rattler years, right?
Who was at this game this week and was really good. But yeah, I think so.
So, you know, I mean, shoot, it could be next year. So yeah, I will say that of the next four national championships, one of them will be won by Oklahoma. Yeah.
I agree. And I mean, I think Alex Grinch is a big piece of that puzzle.
Right.
I don't think I'm willing to say that if Alex, you know, if they're still, I don't know, not to pick on Ruff McNeil, but if Ruff McNeil is their D coordinator next year, I don't think I'm willing to say that. So
is that based on Alex Grinch as a plus value added addition to the program,
right?
Development, like just everything that he's going to bring, I've not had any reason to believe that Alex Grinch is not a plus value, if not a major plus value added addition to the program.
There's no reason to think this is not a good hire.
Neil Brown to West Virginia. I liked it for only the reason that when we were discussing the West Virginia job, he was the one of the ones that we came back to where the hire of Neil Brown to me says, we realize that Dana Holgorsen has spent all this time developing a certain style. Neil Brown is a coach that will be able to come in, take the same personnel, and offensively at least figure out a way to maintain. You know, Dana Holgorsen, like, maintain for West Virginia is not, it's not Big 12 championships. Maintaining for West Virginia is about 7-8 wins. And I think you get a coach like Neil Brown with the team that's already in place and some of the systems that group knows, then yeah, I have no reason to believe that Neil Brown can't go win 6-7 games, except for the fact that the rest of the Big 12 is getting good too.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about the Big 12 right now is as good of a hire as that is, and I think it is a really good hire. I don't think it's easy to win in the Big 12 right now. I mean, the Chris Klieman hire was a really good hire at Kansas State. You know, Matt Rhule has got them improving at Baylor. We know what Tom Herman's doing at Texas. We talked about Oklahoma. Mike Gundy's, I mean, he's going to mess around and win 10 games next year with no one talking about him, probably. You know, that's just the sort of what he does. So the idea that Neil Brown, as good of a hire as that may be, is going to come in and start dominating the conference, you know, who knows? But I think at the very least, look, if you're West Virginia, you could make a case you've traded up. Even, I think, that's, you know,
I don't know. All right. So when Neil Brown, was at Kentucky,
led me to believe you may have a disagreement.
Well, I was going to say, I tripped into it. I wanted to make sure, cause you know, everybody, especially the big time X's and O's types, you know, shout out to Chris Brown, Smart Football, and Michael Felder and everybody else who's helped me along the way. I believe that we're both dealing with air raid ish or air raid family offenses, right? Cause I've got Neil Brown at Kentucky.
He's air raid ish, but Neil Brown, which is sort of what you got to do. He has air raid with a real physical element to him. I mean, in fact, I don't even know if his offense is necessarily quote air raid. He just has an air raid background, but I mean, right. Look at how they beat LSU, last year. I mean, they did it by beating them up.
Oh, that was situational. I was going to his background, where if he's coming in and he inherits an air raid team, that is not unfamiliar territory at all.
Right.
And so the question would be, did they just get, the remastered edition of Dana Holgorsen year one?
Well,
like you said, did they upgrade? And I paused, and my pause was, I don't know if they upgraded as much as maybe they retrograded, or they like reversed course, or they got in their Back to the Future time machine and just got another less experienced Dana. Like, sure, well, we gave Dana, you know, these 7 years or so, and here, now you get 7 years or so. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mean, the grass is always greener. You know, there's always an optimism in these hires. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid right now. So I'm not ready to go and throw them in. Like, I still believe in the Matt Rules of the world of the Big 12 elsewhere. And so I'm not ready to like put them at the top of the conference from a coaching perspective. I just think it's a good hire. He's a good coach. West Virginia's in a good position with him.
Neil Brown at some point got the stamp of approval from the
he did, didn't he? Like, yeah. He got the every, like, it's like the cool guy for everybody to think is a really good coach.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, he's at Troy. Our boy Coca texted me and I got to text him back. He was like, you know, because Coca is one of our producers who's a big West Virginia guy. You know, he's like, how can Neil Brown recruit? I was like, you know, I don't know.
He's been recruiting to Troy. Yeah. You know who the players are that he's gotten? The ones that aren't in Alabama.
Right. He's, you know, they've been good at Troy's been good. So I guess he's recruits or develops or evaluates. And yeah. I mean, legitimately, he's gotten good players that I'm familiar with that have been like, all right, man, wow. Like, but going in as freshmen, like, that kid's going to be a good player for Troy. So yes, he wins some battles, but it's just like, we talked about it and a lot of other coaches, whether it be, you know, when Mike Elko goes from Bowling Green, Wake Forest to Notre Dame and everyone's like, can he recruit? It's like, I don't know. I mean, he's never had a Notre Dame on his shirt.
right.
But
y'all are acting way more like the body inside the pullover matters as much as the pullover does.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But if a guy works at it, then they're going to be good at it. And I suspect Neil Brown works at it.
Yeah. Very good summation.
And I suspect that trickles down or trickles up even to all of the program. That seems to be the impression or the picture that has been painted for us by those that have a close familiarity with the Neil Brown and his program. I am not one of the reporters like our boy Andy Staples, and I feel like others.
Right, right. And that's the thing.
Neil Brown and like spent a lot of time with him.
The stamp of approval comes from well-written stories by our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that. Like, shocker, we cannot be at all 130 programs at once. We got to rely on some sources close to the program. All right, we will get to breaking down and previewing Alabama-Clemson right after this.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, Barton. Have you felt like, because you ripped your attention away, like you were in the thick of it. We were at the Orange Bowl recording 305, 350, whenever it was. And then you had to go back into recruiting high school world. Like, are you even ready for the game on Monday?
I will be by Monday. I'm ready for a nap right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a couple cold brews tonight. I feel a little bit like I've gotten a sabbatical or like I've been isolated a little bit from the buildup to this game. I don't know if I feel like the only buildup I've seen is just people bitching and moaning about it, you know, being in San Jose or Santa Ana and not how the ticket sales, like the ticket prices are low, like, which are things I don't really care about.
Hey, like, good,
it's
good.
It's
going to
be an awesome
for
game.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my thing is, it's going to be an awesome game and it's the best two teams in the country. And it's the best two teams in the country. We thought were the best two teams in the country at the beginning of the season. And, I've seen this movie before and they were pretty good movies.
Yeah. I started to finally, at Media Day,
I started to finally get really excited for the football, you know, like, cause a lot of those conversations that you're having, and I was splitting it up with Dennis with the HQ duties, but then also getting to float. I felt like I got to float a little bit more and just sort of have some conversations and thinking about the preparation that both these teams are putting in, the amount of respect that all these players have for each other. Like, there is a real, I spent a lot of time with Brent Venables today, and that got me really fired up. It is really fun to hear Brent Venables break down Alabama's football team.
If you want to get fired up about the football side of a football game, Brent Venables is a good football coach to talk to.
I would yes, it was awesome, man. I was rock hard. I was ready for it. I was like, let's go. He came out. He said, well, I mean, they're the best in the country at every single position. There's not a single place where we line up and have an advantage. They've got the best wide receivers in the country. There ain't nobody else in the country that can go three deep at running back like that. And they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I mean, what do we do here?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, there's only about five or six guys on our team that had an Alabama offer. And how many guys, you know, on their team have we offered? I mean, it's just different. They're the best in the country.
I guess. I wonder how true. Like, Clemson's still trying to play the aw shucks where the underdogs roll.
Oh,
they're going to cling on to that as much as they can.
Yes.
But Clemson's got the number five roster in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite Team Talent Rankings, which means they have dudes that everybody wanted, and probably a few Alabama wanted too, if I would look back and do the math. But
well, yeah, and then in the same 30-minute window, I'm over there talking to Albert Huggins, who played really, really well with Dexter Lawrence sidelined. He moved into the starting lineup, played great against Notre Dame, needs to play great again here. And yeah, Albert Huggins said he picked Clemson over Georgia. So it's not like these are scrubs.
No. Yeah, but I mean, point taken on that from Brent Venables. You know, it's I guess we'll get to our picks. I don't want to jump the gun, but like that's a little foreshadowing of how I see this game. Is one team is elite everywhere. One team is elite everywhere except for like two places where they're just good instead of elite. And in a game of inches and with the thin margins that are going to take place in this game, you know, my lean is towards the team that has zero deficiencies, even if they're very minor deficiencies.
I feel like, okay, so how do you want to attack this then? We could just go ahead and get our differing opinions out early because
since I went there.
Yeah. You've got Alabama winning and I've got Clemson winning.
Yeah, let's have a freaking bare knuckle throwdown.
Do
you think, man?
Well, I've
defend
got,
yourself. Defend yourself. Alabama. You know, they're the Vegas favorite by six. They're the number one team in the country all year long. So admittedly, I preseason picked Clemson to win it all. So I'm not going to act like I'm that disgusted by this pick. Talk to me.
I think the game. I think in these meetings of elite teams, things get weird. There's bound to be some stuff that goes a little sideways, some stuff that goes a little wrong. It comes with the stage. It comes with the fact that it's college football, and I just have more faith that when things go sideways and, like you mentioned, a game of margins starts to really come down to the details, I'm riding Clemson's experience here. And, you know, Quinnen Williams talks about, you know, not even playing in the last Alabama-Clemson national championship game. Dylan Moses wasn't in the last Alabama-Clemson national championship game. There are dozens, like more than 50 players that were in the last they were on the roster. They did not all play in, but they were on the roster for the last national championship game against Alabama. I'm basically siding with experience here, and also just acknowledging that sometimes in these national championship games, the the team that's the dynasty doesn't win. I mean, there were a lot of Bobby Bowden Florida State teams that didn't win. Sometimes you just, it just doesn't go your way in the title game. And I think that that's probably at the core of backing up my prediction here.
Yeah, I want to be very clear. I think Clemson could win this game. And I don't, you know, I that's a very defensible pick, and I get it. And yet, like, when I just, I think the only, to me, what you just said is your gut says Clemson.
Right.
And that's fine. Like, right. But you basically just said your gut says Clemson. I think if you look at this game from a just totally, like, raw, objective, you know, way, I think it's hard without sort of a gut factoring in to pick Clemson, because there's, like I said, there's, you have, I mean, Brent Venables articulated that, the offensive side of the ball for Alabama.
Well, if everything's cold and plays out as it should, Alabama wins this game, because right. there's not a single reason, as great as Clemson has been, there's not a single reason that Alabama should ever not score a touchdown when they have the ball on offense. There's no reason why Alabama shouldn't score every time they touch it.
So I'm out here in at the All-American Bowl, and on the color guy for the broadcast, one of the color guys for the broadcast is Ross Tucker, who we've talked to on this pod before. And, you know, we talk about, like, we don't watch the offensive linemen and study them as closely as some of the offensive line gurus do. Well, Ross Tucker played offensive line in the NFL for 8 years, whatever it was, and pays a little closer attention to that stuff.
Isn't he on the Joe Moore Award committee?
I don't think he's on the committee.
Oh, okay.
But he's in that, you know, he's probably has a text thread going with Cole Kublik and Jeff Schwartz and all the offensive line nerds or something like that. But you know, he mentions about Clemson's offensive line and just was like, yeah, you know, sometimes when I watch them, that's just, that doesn't really look like that. They're not as good as I want them to look. And they kind of disappoint me, or they, you know, I feel like Mitch Hyatt sort of plateaued or whatever. And, you hear a lot of that sort of narrative from the offensive line gurus in college football. And I think, as I look at, again, the two areas, and Clemson has a good offensive line, but it's not. But when it's not the Notre Dame's or the Wisconsin's or the Oklahoma's or Alabama, for that matter, and so maybe not Notre Dame, but a good offensive line against a great Alabama defensive front, and the other area that's they're deficient is the safety position. Whether it's Kayvon Wallace or Tanner Muse, like, those guys just aren't as good in pass coverage as, and they can be exposed if you have an offensive line that can block and handle that defensive front for Clemson. Well, you know, Alabama's got an offensive line that can at least give their quarterback some time, I think. And so there's a little gut instinct. This is going to be Clemson's going to have a chance to win this game too. But I just go with all that, in addition to Tua being one of the best that I've seen up close in terms of playing big in the moment. And he looked as healthy as could be last week when you and I were down there in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
I feel like there is a, there's a what if Tua doesn't play well kind of moment, kind of thought for me.
Why do you think he wouldn't play well, though? He's every time he's been healthy, he's played well.
I don't know. That's just a gut. Like, what if Alabama's offense does come out and sputter a little bit?
What if?
Yeah. I feel like I was basing some of the gut play is documented by details, and those details would be a lot of false starts and that allowed Oklahoma to get back in the game. I think the details are also the three and outs after they built up the lead against Clemson the last time they played them. if I as I see it playing out, they come out and they look pretty much flawless on their first couple drives. They expose a bunch of problems for Clemson. Clemson has to freak out. They have to play soft, but they hang in there. Clemson gets a touchdown. It's like 21-7 at half, maybe. And then things sputter a little bit. I mean, Alabama will get complacent. They do get complacent with a lead sometimes.
And well, this is as good as a defense as this is, and it's improved to the year. This isn't the old school Alabama defense of like whatever 2014 or whenever they've just been, you know, they're you can score on this team. So if it gets into an up and down shootout, I mean, all bets are off. By the way, the first move on that Oklahoma defensive staff, as we were talking on this pod, linebackers coach Tim Kish retiring. So there will be new bodies in the fold, but that's beside the point.
Oh, so it was a, hey, so do you want to retire or?
It might have been.
Right.
Might have been.
Okay. All right. So our predictions are out of the way. What are you excited about? Like what are you looking into from either a matchup standpoint or a storyline standpoint or that you're curious about? I can take us a lot of different ways. I'm more than happy to let you drive here in terms of what you're sort of hankering for.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I'm always reluctant to just point towards the quarterback because everyone talks about the quarterback. But it's kind of fun to have – we had Jalen Hurts as a true freshman starting quarterback in the national championship game. Then we had Jake Fromm as the starting quarterback in the national championship game as a true freshman. Then we had Tua come in as a true freshman the second half and save the day. Now we got another true freshman starting at quarterback in a national championship game. It's just fun to see how these freshmen in college and how young that is and how prepared they are. And I'm just excited to see what Trevor Lawrence does in the moment. And on that stage, and I'm fascinated. I mean, if he roll, like Trevor Lawrence is quickly reaching very like, iconic status, but like the Trevor Lawrence fan club, the ride or die Trevor Lawrence folks are coming hard out there. And I mean, he's about to get a statue on that campus, like quick, if he goes ahead and finishes this thing out.
They are in kind of dangerous territory, but that's another conversation for another time. Cause it ain't coming when Trevor Lawrence is there. Cause this is about to be, here's a good argument. I would not be surprised if this Clemson run peaks here in the next 3 years, either this year, next year, or the year after the Trevor Lawrence era. I think this is probably as good as it's going to get.
Well, don't look now, but Clemson might be a leader for a kid named DJ Wangalele, who is out of Southern California and was the Gatorade Player of the Year in California as an underclassman and is an unbelievable talent. So, a quarterback.
Cool. All right. So it's maybe not peaking.
Yeah. So just they hadn't committed, but I'm just saying like this recruiting machine that Clemson has built is not some like this national title run is not a product of like some crazy perfect storm class like Ole Miss had in 2013 or whatever. They seem to be not going anywhere on the talent front.
Okay. All right. I think that the thing that is going to be really, really fun to watch is probably going to be the matchups just like as the game unfolds because they know each other so well. That's, and again, I'm coming off a lot of time with Brent Venables, but I do think there's going to be a little bit of back and forth and some gamesmanship. I mean, I was listening to Tosh Lupoy for a long time too. He is very dialed in. They're both very dialed into what each other do well. And there was a big difference in preparing for last year's Clemson team than preparing for this year's Clemson team. Dylan Moses explained that last year the game plan was simple: make Kelly Bryant throw it. because they didn't think Kelly Bryant was going to be able to beat him down the field with his arm. And they were exactly right, because that's exactly what happened. He said this year they can't do it. There's too much of a threat, especially now that Justin Ross and T. Higgins have become this two-man tandem just at the nine spot. Like this Clemson offense is, you know, it has only the statistics that back up a more like ground-heavy, Travis Etienne heavy attack. But in terms of preparing to defend it, especially coming off the way things looked against Notre Dame, it's just, I think it's a far more even matchup and a far, far more fair test when Clemson's offense is on the field.
Yeah, and when Clemson's offense is on the field, one thing that I'm interested in, I mean, Trevor Lawrence ran the ball a little bit against Notre Dame. Like, they weren't scared to let him get out and go and keep the ball and go downfield in the run game. Like, one thing I'll be curious of, that's a big, long target. Those Alabama dudes, they get the mouth watering. I mean, wasn't it Deshaun Watson that had like the helicopter hit from Reuben Foster a couple years ago?
Yep.
Just like those dudes are out for blood if they get a quarterback outside the pocket, if they get a quarterback running. And Trevor's a long drink of water. He's got a little bit of baby deer to him when he's running out there. And, you know, if they get a clean shot on him and he has to sit.
Oh, no.
That's a game changer. You know?
Oh, no, so it's game over.
Let's hope, for the sake of a good game, that doesn't happen. For sake of Trevor, of course, also. I think that's something to watch. You know, and then on the other side, look, there's a great Bama O-line, Clemson D-line is a fantastic matchup. That's sort of, we get that. But, man, Isaiah Simmons really emerged in the national consciousness, I feel like, last week. You know, I got random friends text me like, yo, that Simmons dude's the truth. And I'm like, yeah, man, he's kind of freaky. They got some more guys than just the D-line. And then A.J. Terrell and Trayvon Mullen, those big, long corners, are going to be fun to match up with those Alabama receivers. So there's some great inside the game matchups. So there's every reason to think that this thing could go either way.
Nick Saban already the greatest coach of all time, or do you think that winning the seventh and passing Bear Bryant means it is no longer an argument? He will be consensus recognized.
I'm there. He's already there. I've locked in my answer on that one.
Win or lose, he's the GOAT.
Win or lose. Yeah, yeah. Are you with it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always come back to the impact that Nick Saban has had, the way his coaching tree spreads in all directions, the fact that so many roads lead to Nick Saban and he's continued to be able to do it well into, you know, much older age, and to maintain good health and sort of everything about the full essence, I think is a lot more than the wins and the championships that Bear Bryant ran up over a long period of time.
Yeah. And I mean, he's doing it in an era where it's like, they're supposed to be parity. They're, you know, they're trying to make rules and signing class limitations and, you know, capping signing limits. And,
oh, yeah, because didn't Bear Bryant have like 190 people, 190 yeah, players did, on his yeah, rosters?
He just recruit guys to like put them on the bench so that they didn't have to play against them. And not to mention, it was just, you know, I mean, there's the it's big business. And there's a lot of people trying to chop down at Nick Saban and the consistency of excellence that he's had is just, it's amazing. He's one of the most amazing leaders, not in just sports, but I think in America, like in industry, period. And so it's just pretty phenomenal watching it.
Yeah. I need to go back. I still have a lot of transcribing left to do, but Dabo Swinney was talking about, he made a staff hire from Alabama. What would it have been? Thad? Am I remembering that right? I don't know. I mean, but point being, said the first thing they did was, start figuring out a way to put in a new plan for recruiting, which means that even Clemson on a organizational level is probably using a little bit of the Alabama, like there's a bit of the Alabama blueprint from the facilities to the way they recruit, to the way they are now building out the full support staff with offensive and defensive analysts. Like it's just, they are the blueprint. And that is, I think that impact is something that elevates him to the levels that you just said, for sure.
I mean, I think recruiting, I mean, he's a great coach no matter what. He's clearly kind of checks all the boxes. He can scheme, he can develop, he's phenomenal at instilling discipline. But I really think the thing that drives this beyond everything else is the way he can recruit, the way he can evaluate, the way he can recruit. I mean, it's the, you know, give him another roster and then, I mean, it's still the Jimmys and Joes.
Right.
I mean, and he's had seven of it. He's about to have eight of nine number one classes, which is unfathomable.
Stupid. And that's why, and eight of nine number one classes is why Barton is picking Alabama to win. And
right.
Because there's going to be a moment where we're sitting there and you're just going to like, me and everybody else who took Clemson is going to shake their head as Jerry Judy's running free for a 60-yard touchdown. You can be like, oh, they just have freaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Anything else about the game before we get out of here that's that you're itching for?
No, man. No, I don't think so. Unless you, else you got out there?
I'm going to be sad to see some of these Clemson players leave, but also with a little bit of excitement about Xavier Thomas, you know, and just a lot of the young guys that are already here, not to mention, you know, the recruiting classes that continue to pump new talent in. I think that defensively that group's probably going to take a step back. So I'll just enjoy watching them play. Cleland Farrell, Austin Bryant. I mean, there's a lot of dudes that have played a lot of ACC snaps that I feel like I've watched. So, you know, last game for them, I think that I'm definitely in a position where if the game ends up playing out where Alabama just runs away with it, then we have to readjust our take on this team and everything else and just be like, well, we just watched the greatest team in college football history. People always hold up that one of those Miami early 2000s teams as the greatest college football team of all time. And I think that if Alabama goes in and dunks on Clemson, I think we have to reanalyze and refocus and realize what we just watched, that we just watched history.
If there's dunkage in this game, then I think we need to take a step back
and be like, whoa.
And register this as a moment in time that like this is pretty special. I don't think there's gonna be dunkage in this game.
Correct.
My pick is Bama to win, Clemson to cover. 6-point line. I don't know whether it's moved.
Oh, it's moved, baby.
What is it?
It's down to 5 or 5.5.
All right. Well, good. I don't know. Maybe that's not good for us.
No. I it's bad for me because it means they're the trendy dog. And I've been all over Sportsline, and they had me in one of those boxes where I could hear. I mean, I was on, but I could only hear Todd Furman and Kelly Stewart were both talking too. And they're all over Clemson plus the points, and I'm all over Clemson plus the points. You never want to be on the trendy dog.
Yeah, so, if you get sort of the nod from all the Vegas heads, then at least you're not just with all the, you definitely don't want to be on the trendy Joe dog. But if there's a couple of sharps out there that are on the trendy dog too, then you know that makes you feel a little better.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's going to end up settling around 5.5 or 6, and maybe there's a bunch of late Alabama money to make it move again. But you are basically predicting.
My pick is Bama 35, Clemson 31.
Correct.
That's what I think is
good. Right. That is, which is the score of the last Clemson win. But yeah, I think that my lock that I've been giving out on CBS Sports HQ is the over. If you can get it
what's the total?
59.5.
Yeah, it feels like this is going to be it. I mean, I agree. I would play over before I play under.
You do not want to be holding an under ticket in a game where, regardless of what the Like Alabama cannot afford to get too conservative, and Clemson at every moment in this game will need to score a touchdown every time they have the ball. In the second half of this game, you do not want to be holding an under ticket as Tua and Trevor are out there trying to score touchdowns in a frantic pace in the final minutes of the college football season.
A perfect throw beats perfect defense.
Every time.
And there's going to be some perfect throws. There's going to
be some perfect
throws. I mean, it may just be where these, you know, there's going to be some moments where this offense is just too good. I agree. I'm not going to bet as good as these teams. It was wild to say. Like, it's wild. You just lined up the defenses and you're like, oh my God, Raekwon Davis, Quinnen Williams, and Christian Wilkins and Cleveland Farrell. And you tell me those guys aren't going to stop whoever's put in front of them. And you just got to turn on one game tape and remind yourself how good those offenses are, and you get it.
He is Barton Simmons. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. We will be trying to get back with you, we're still working on our post championship game plans, but we'll at the latest, we will be back with you Wednesday morning, first thing, possibly sooner. So make sure that you subscribe as always. Barton, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.